All right. Kids are dismissal, Miss Amanda. Today we're starting a new series. I always get excited about a new series. Today's message is Life Lessons from Joseph, and we'll discuss why that is. But before we get there, please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. You know, a Methodist preacher visited a Baptist church while he was on vacation, and the service began, and he noticed something strange. The pastor walked up to the pulpit, took off his watch, and set it down next to his Bible. And he asked an usher, "What does that mean when he puts his watch on the pulpit?" The usher smiled and said, "Absolutely nothing." Some of y'all get that later. This gospel is written by Matthew, also known as Levi, who was a former tax collector. It was most likely written between AD 50 and 60. Matthew left everything behind to follow Jesus. Matthew wrote primarily to Jewish believers, the people who knew the Old Testament. Matthew had one goal, and that was to prove that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, and the fulfillment of God's promise to the world and to his people. Connecting the Old Testament prophecies to the life of Christ, proving that every word spoke was coming true in Jesus. The key themes of the gospel include Jesus as King, the kingdom of heaven, and fulfillment of prophecy and discipleship. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And these, a lot of people find the genealogy a little boring, but we need to pay attention here because there's a lot of good stuff in it. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David, the king. David, the king, begot Solomon by her who had been with wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And that's an important thing there. You can underline that. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. And Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. And Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan. And Matthan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. There's a lot of begots in here, and we thank you for them because it's important. It's in your word. We know it's important. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would open our hearts and open our minds to your word, that we may grow thereby. Lord, we come into worship, and we want to go out to serve. And that's what we're here to do, is to serve others. And so we praise you, and we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, before we get into this, we must trust God's plan. We've got to be prepared for some unexpected things, and we need to be obedient to God, no matter what he tells us to do. Firstly, trust God in his plan. I'm only going to read verse 17 because I don't want to go through all the begots again. But it says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. You know, some people say that all the genealogies found in Scripture are boring. Well, guess what? I agree with you. However, they're holy and they're inspired by God, and they're there for a reason. Before we get there, let me take a moment to bring to our remembrance a few things. The book of Matthew was written to the Jewish, or the religious people, the people through whom Jesus would come. These people had the promise of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It was originally written in Hebrew. It is the only gospel to be written originally in Hebrew. The book of Mark was written to the Romans and shows Jesus' power. Luke was written to the Greeks. John was written to the believers, and as such, it gives us the spiritual aspects of the gospel account. Some things that stick out about the genealogy, that this follows the line of Joseph, not Mary. Though Joseph is not the father of Jesus, because of his position, it gives Jesus the line of succession all the way to the throne of David. And this shows that he is the one proper king of Israel. Now, in contrast, when we look at the genealogy in Luke, it follows the line all the way back to David as well, but through the line of Mary. Some other things to note is that Rahab, she was a Gentile prostitute who was not a God-fearer, nor had any standing with the Jews. Well, she became engrafted in to the Jews, as it were. And if you remember, she hid the spies that went into the land to spy it out before they took the land militarily. Another thing to note is that Bathsheba is not named by name. She is mentioned as the wife of Uriah, reminding us of the debacle when King David had Uriah killed to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. Ruth is also mentioned. And remember that the whole story of Ruth was to show that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. Our God is our redeemer. So why do I bring these things up? Well, it shows that our God is a transforming God, a forgiving God, and that it was his plan from the beginning to open up salvation to the whole world. He promised Abraham that through his seed, all the nations would be blessed. Indeed, they have been blessed. You will also notice that it talks about the captivity to Babylon. Now, a great portion of the Jews, those that were considered the upper class, were taken from their land, and they were replaced with another people that would come in to the land. This is how Babylon conquered, so that there would not be an uprising. And the Babylonians did this to stop any uprising. And notice that even this did not stop the will of God. That even this could not stop the Messiah being born through the line of David. God's plans will not be thwarted. So what does the genealogy do for us? It reminds us of who God is, that he is sovereign over all things. I don't know why so many bad things happen to Christians other than that sin has entered the world and it affects everyone and everything. But even in that, we know that God has an ultimate plan and we can trust him in his plan. We can know for certain that he is in control and that in the end, because it is his will, he wins. And we get to be there and rejoice over that victory. I've read the end of the book. I've read Revelation. God wins. Imagine a jigsaw puzzle for a minute. You're piecing together a beautiful image, but some pieces are missing or don't seem to fit. But you continue to work on it, and you start to see a picture form. Well, God's plans are similar. They may feel incomplete, but eventually, as each piece falls into place, you realize that there is beauty in the design, and there is purpose for your life. Be prepared for God to do something that you don't expect. Be prepared for God to do something that you don't expect with you. Matthew 1:18 says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Notice that Matthew does not go into all the detail that Luke goes into about Mary being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Well, this goes back to the purpose of his writing. He's showing the kingship of Christ for the Jews. We're told that Mary's engaged to be married to Joseph. However, before the marriage happened, she came up pregnant. And now the scripture tells us that she was still a virgin. Now, a lot of people today will deny the virgin birth and that the scriptures don't teach it. Well, they're wrong. You cannot deny the scriptural teaching of the virgin birth. Now, there have been many over the years who have denied the virgin birth, and they can do what they want to do because this is America and they have the right to be wrong. And because the scripture teaches us something different. This was in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, and none more clearer than Isaiah 7:14, which is quoted here. And it says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Folks, either we believe the whole Bible the way it is written, or we don't. You do not get the option to pick and choose what you believe. In this day, if a woman showed up pregnant, and it was not by her fiancé, then the law was that she should be stoned to death. That is, stones are thrown at her by a mob of people until she is dead. Really, Joseph had three options he could have taken. He could have had her stoned. He could break the engagement and let her family deal with the situation. Or he could take her as his wife and raise the child as his own. Well, Joseph was leaning toward breaking the engagement quietly. And the Bible calls him a righteous man for this. However, that's not what happened. You see, an angel intervened and told him to take her as his wife. And the angel tells him that she has not been unfaithful, as he would naturally assume, but that the child was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is told it would be a son. And now, folks, they didn't have ultrasounds, okay? So to know the gender of the child before he's born, that's miraculous. And he's to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus translated literally means Savior. Did you know that? Now, today we gloss over this, but did you know that the name Jesus is a translation from the Hebrew word Yeshua? Yeshua, as we pronounce it today, would be Joshua. Joshua was a common name at the time, and this name points back to the Joshua of the Old Testament who took the Israelites into the Promised Land. He was a conqueror under the mighty hand of God. Jesus is the conqueror of our sin through his sacrifice on the cross. He is the promised one found in the scriptures and leads us into the Promised Land, as it were. Have you ever noticed that God has a habit of taking that which doesn't look like as much of anything and it ends up using it to his glory? I don't look like much of anything, but sometimes God uses me to his glory. He took a simple girl and made her the mother of Jesus. And he took a simple man and had him raise Jesus. God has this weird habit of messing your world up. Joseph, who we assume loved Mary, was not about to believe the supernatural, was probably distraught and in turmoil. But God comes in and calms his feelings and tells him what he should do. And he did it. Many times we're in turmoil over things and we don't know what to do. And God will come in and tell us what we're to do. And he does that through his word. And a lot of times we ignore it. And we shouldn't. What would have happened if Joseph had just ignored the message of the angel in a dream? Not good things. In the early days of aviation, did you know that many people believed that it was impossible for a man to take flight? But what happened? The Wright brothers happened. Two bicycle mechanics from Ohio. They defied expectations and they flew the first airplane. They didn't fly very far, but they flew. This was an unexpected achievement, and it reminds us that God can do astonishing things in our lives if we let him. Things that we might think are impossible. He often works in ways that we've never imagined. Who would have thought two bicycle mechanics at the time would figure out flight? Nobody. Who would have thought that a simple girl would bear the child that would save the world? Nobody. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Notice that throughout this book, as we go through, there's going to be a lot of scriptures that are quoted. And this is because he is appealing to a Jewish audience, and they knew the scriptures well. They were educated from knee-high to a grasshopper to adulthood in the scriptures. The conversation that Joseph had with the angel was in a dream. And I've had dreams before too, but this must have been pretty miraculous. One in order for him to not dismiss it. You could say that it was beyond anything that a normal dream could bring. I don't know about y'all, but a lot of my dreams are just weird. I guess you could say this was weird, but weird in a miraculous way. The most important part is that he obeyed the command of the Lord. He did exactly as he was told by the angel. God expects obedience from us. God expects obedience from his children. You know, we focus a lot on forgiveness of sin and mercy from God, and that's important. But that does not give the child of God an excuse to live and commit sin. Romans 5:20 says, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And 1 John 5:3 confirms this when he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Did you hear that? His commandments are not burdensome. Imagine a soldier who, receiving a command to advance despite enemy fire, you know, if he hesitates or refuses, that entire mission could fail. And similarly, God calls us to be obedient, even in challenging times. In the Bible, God asks us to go into the world to share the gospel, prompting us to trust him. And like that soldier, we're to trust our commander. Our obedience can be the turning point in someone else's life. Did you know that? Our obedience can be the turning point in someone else's life. That's amazing. That's amazing. So what should we do? What do we say then? Well, we need to be obedient, number one. We need to trust in God's plan. And we need to be prepared for some of his unexpected commands. Joseph didn't expect it. Mary didn't expect it. But that's what happened. And all those people in the genealogy, they didn't expect that they would someday end up as a part of the genealogy for Christ Jesus. How about you today? As the singers come,